It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've lost. It don't matter how you've sinned. Oh, it don't matter what it's called. It don't matter anymore. That old life you've lived in sin, you're still loved by the Lord.
When I'm walking on the streets downtown, I recommend to people that they read Mark's Gospel. I offer a copy of it to them because I believe that Mark's Gospel is the best place for a person to begin, that is, who's not acquainted with the Bible, reading it. Because Mark's Gospel, you see, gives us a summary, an overview of what the Bible is all about. It begins with these words, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ. That, you see, is what the Gospel's about, what Mark's on about, and it's what the Bible's about from start to finish. The golden thread that runs all the way through the Bible is that of Jesus, Son of God, the Christ, the Anointed of God, the Messiah, who was to come, who came, who lived, who died, who rose again from the dead in order to give us human beings, sinful though we are, reason for hope. There is reason for hope, believe me. Whatever your situation is today, as you listen to this, I tell you, there is hope for you. The Bible says that without hope, a person can't live. You see, when you run out of hope, you run out of life. You run out of motivation to live. Despair sets in, and what do people do? Well, many young people in our land here in the United Kingdom in these days, an awful lot of people are topping themselves, you know, killing themselves, shooting themselves, hanging themselves, whatever, in order to end their lives. Why? Because despair, hopelessness, no hope. Hope, the Bible says, in God. Why? Because God's eternal. Because God doesn't disappoint. Because God presents us in His Son Jesus. He presents us with a hope that is sure and concrete and that does not disappoint. It's an anchor for the soul, the Bible says. It will see you through this life. It will see you through all its troubles and travails. It will see you through death. It will see you into the world to come. It's a hope for now, and it's a hope for the world to come. It's a hope that's abundant, that's overflowing, that's a hope that is that fills a person with life. Sin, of course, does the opposite, takes the life out of a person. Here lies the very heart of the Gospel and the relevance of what Mark writes in his Gospel. Three verses and he tells you the relevance of his Gospel is the forgiveness, the remittance of sins. God remits, God sends your sins so far away that not even he himself can find them. You see, that's what Jesus came for. Christ Jesus came into the world to rescue sinful men and women like you and like I, to forgive our sins. And when a person's sins are forgiven, they have peace with God, they have joy, they have satisfaction that is deep, and they have a hope that is an anchor for their soul. Some people say, well, I've got hope. I hope that I win the lottery. Yeah, if only that were so. But even if it were so, it would probably be the worst thing that ever happened to you. It would probably sink you into the depths of hell, eventually. No, that's no hope at all. And of course, well, if you were to gain the whole world, what would it profit your soul were you to lose your soul even this very night? So no, that's no hope at all. And then some people, they hope that something or someone will turn up. They don't quite know what, but, you know, something eventually. No hope at all. A hope that is sure, that doesn't disappoint, and that is concrete, is presented to you in the Gospel. Through the Son of God, through Jesus, who alone has the authority to say to any man or woman, your sins are forgiven. But that hope is there, and that hope is presented to you here, right now, the hope in Jesus, if you will believe in him, if you will trust in him. Let me give you an example. We had a young man here in the United Kingdom just a few weeks ago. He was an ex-football player. He was a soccer player, that is. He was a soccer manager, now of a national team, Welsh national team. He was a good-looking young kid. He was, you know, he had the adulation of many thousands of people. He had a lovely wife and kids and a palatial home. You name the car, he could drive it. He got money in the bank. He got everything, everything that young people would crave for in our Western society today. And what did he do one Saturday morning? He topped himself, killed himself, hung himself. Despair, hopelessness set in, you see? And all that stuff, all that he got, everything that people crave for, did him no good, none whatsoever. This hopelessness, you know, a lot of it derives from this teaching of evolution that is so prevalent in our world, well, in Western society today. These fools and blinds, you know, that teach people this stuff. Parents, teachers in primary schools, secondary schools, colleges, universities, the media, television, newspapers, music, it is absolutely bombarded, you know, into these young people day after day, from day one, from the cradle to the cross. Evolution, 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 or rather, if you like, despair, 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 hopelessness, hopelessness, hopelessness. I remember talking to a young guy down the streets locally here just a wee while back. And he was a lovely young kid, you know, he wasn't argumentative, nasty, as, you know, most of these atheists tend to be. And, you know, we had a lovely, level-headed discussion. He was educated, he was clever, more clever than me. Knew it all, you know, and for an hour we talked back and to, he'd put something forth, I'd answer it from Scripture, from the Bible. And so on for an hour, we talked it up one side and down the other. In the end, I couldn't get anywhere with him, couldn't shift him. I said to him, but son, that is a doctrine of just absolute despair. And he looked at me, and he nodded his head, and he said, yep, it is. Despair, he said, I acknowledge it, but he says, it's all we've got. How tragic, how sad. This is a, you know what, 16 going on 17 year old kid, and already, you know, he's imbibed this doctrine of utter despair. Hopelessness marks our society in the face of, you know, we're facing economic ruin in this country, probably in Europe, maybe the world, who knows. But economic disaster is in front of us. You know, family life is broken down, and it's just an absolute and utter shambles. And yet, people, you know, it just doesn't it show you just how utterly foolish we can be, people can be, yet they still cling to this doctrine of despair. And of course, in their hopelessness, they turn to drugs, alcohol, and immorality, and materialism, and just anything at all, grasp hold of, you know, to hold on to life. But of course, you take those things away, and what's left? Nothing. Hopelessness, despair, take the life. You can't live. Bible says you can't live without hope. Everybody needs hope in order to live. Well, Jesus, he presents you with a hope that will not disappoint you, that will take you through life, through death, and take you into the world to come. It comes to us as a result of his death for our sins, his resurrection in order to justify us before God, and that resurrection life, his defeating of sin, of death, of hell. You see, his victory can be your victory by trusting, by putting your hope and your confidence in him. Everything's possible. Whatever your situation is, as you listen to this, at whatever point in life you're at, I say to you, there is a reason for hope, and it's in Jesus. Assure a concrete hope, an anchor for your soul, a hope that will not, does not disappoint. Whatever you've been doing, whatever you've been sleeping, whoever you've been sleeping with, you know, whatever the catalogue of rights or wrongs lie behind you, whatever you are facing in life at this present time, I say to you, there is reason for hope in Jesus. He can save to the utmost. He is able. He has the supreme ability. He has the authority, the only one with the authority, Mark tells us in chapter 2 of his gospel, the only one who has the authority, the right, the power to say to anybody, your sins are forgiven. When you know the forgiveness of your sins, you will know joy that does not disappoint, that does not go away. Joy that no one, Jesus says, can take away from you. And you will know hope that will be an anchor to your soul, that even in the midst of the most horrendous storms of life, even in the face of death, that hope will not go away, will not disappear. Why? Because Jesus will not go away. He's the King. He beat the rap. He beat death. He overcame it. He beat hopelessness. He overcame it on the cross. He walked out of the tomb triumphantly victorious to declare to a lost and a hopeless world, there is reason for hope. Trust in Jesus, he won't disappoint you.
It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've lost. It don't matter how you've sinned. Oh, it don't matter what it's called. It don't matter anymore. That old life you've lived in sin. You're still loved by the Lord. It don't matter where you've been.